Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1508. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me. I think we're going to start with him first. Tyrus, don't let your PlayStation 5 Pro go.
Hey, don't let it go. I hold it home for dear life. This is my kid's college fund. Oh, my God.
So you slept with it. You've been going out with it. You've been going everywhere, bro, with your PlayStation 5 Pro.
I could pay off my house with this. I can just pay it off clean. Just free and clear. Here you go. Take it.
So if you travel travel across the country or outside international, you're taking your PS5 Pro with you.
Hey. This is, look, black gold, Texas tea. I'm never letting it go.
I gotta look for mine. Actually, we have two over here. Shout out to Paris and his PlayStation 5 Pro. Hold him throughout the whole episode. All right, we have here Peter. God. What's up, Pete? You're muted.
Yeah, this reminds me of like when I was in high school and we had to walk around with those little bags of sugar. And we had this is what it's like taking care of a baby all day long. I can just imagine. Oh, this is hilarious. What's up, man?
What's up? Yo, this is funny, man. Oh my God. They're serious. Paris came on like that. He came onto the stream like that. I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on? Yeah, we're gonna be talking about what's going on with the world of games, and I actually have a voicemail, and shout out to Keon for sending this voicemail. Let me see if I can put it on, because it relates to Paris holding his PlayStation 5 Pro. All right, let's play right here. Let's see if I can do it right now.
What's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a quick question for you guys pertaining to this generation of hardware. We know that on Tuesday, I believe it's April 2nd, the PlayStation 5 will be going up for the base model, $650, well, to $650, and the PlayStation 5 Pro is going up to $900. I'm curious to know, how much is this going to affect people that want to get Grand Theft Auto 6? Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, people will go out there and buy it, you know, and buy these consoles to get it. But at these prices, if you've been holding off on this generation of consoles and the price keeps going up, I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to actually get on board to pay that much in this economy for Grand Theft Auto 6. I'm sure it's going to do extremely well, but I don't know if it's going to do as well as people are thinking it will as far as the sales and converting people over to this generation of hardware. Also, they're talking about next generation hardware supposed to be coming out soon. I think at these prices, man, we might want to hold off until 2030 to try to get these tariffs and the chipsets and all of that stuff under control. But anyway, I'm just curious to know you guys' thoughts on the matter. As always, you guys are awesome at what you do. I appreciate what you do. And you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, shout out to Keon and then for calling. Anyone that wants to call, give us a call to our voicemail, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. And you could also call while holding your PlayStation 5 Pro, just like Paris.
Yep. Get some AirPods and Siri. You can do it. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Do you remember those? You remember the days back in the days? Gaming was like consoles was $199, $249, $299. You know, it got a little expensive. It was like, oh, $500. You know, those days are completely over, ladies and gentlemen. Completely over. Because I personally don't see these consoles prices going back down anymore. I just don't see it anymore. So, I know Xbox did it first. A lot of people are saying, oh, that's not going to happen with all consoles. But look at the Switch 2. Look at PlayStation now. I don't know, man. It's getting expensive, bro. I don't know. Like, do we even need consoles anymore now that it's this expensive now, you know? So,
here's being serious for a second.
I can't take it serious. We're the thing. Hold on,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, going off of what the voicemail was talking about and just seeing the way the news came out, I remember I woke up and I saw it and I was like, holy S, like, are you kidding me? This drastic price increase. I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, Xbox had already raised the price of their stuff. But, you know, we kind of looked at Xbox a little differently in the sense of they're like, look, we ain't subsidizing no more. We got low hardware sales. Obviously, with everything going on, okay, it sucks, but people weren't really buying the hardware anyways. But to see PlayStation have that drastic of a price increase all at once, honestly, was shocking to me. And like, I'm holding this PS5 Pro. It's for a PS5 Pro to start at $900. Then you add in tax. If you want to buy, look, I got the stand. You want the stand on this thing? Like, you start adding everything in. If you want to put a disc drive on this, you're over $1,000 right now for a PS5 Pro. And the reason I highlight more of the PS5 Pro, Grand Theft Auto 6 is coming. This will be the best place to play Grand Theft Auto 6 in 2026. It just will, because it will not be on PC. This with PSSR 2.0, we've seen that. We've seen how great that's already been, you know, upgrading the visuals on games and performance. Yeah. People are going to want a PS5 Pro to have the best experience for GTA 6, right? You obviously can still play it on a base PS5, which is now, what, $650, I think. And then obviously on the Xbox Series X and the S, and obviously the S, we'll see what the performance looks like. But people are gonna want a Pro, the hardcore gamer and the enthusiast. So if you've not already bought a Pro, look, I tweeted it yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, y'all better go get one now, because if you miss out, you're spending $900+ for this thing. And you know there were people that will have FOMO and will both buy it. And again, take all the console war stuff out. Who cares? I'm just speaking reality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So with the RAM shortages, the tariffs, just everything going on, these prices are now where they are. Guess what? They're not going to go back down. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. I had tweeted the day before this happened. I'm like, look, the reality is this. PlayStation 6 will not be cheaper than the PS5 Pro. And I remember people in the comments, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, it's going to be this. Oh, it's going to be that. And then these prices dropped. I'm like, okay, do you really think a PlayStation 6 is going to undercut a PS5 Pro? Mm-hmm. So in other words, tack on about a plus 100 to whatever the PS6 is going to be. So PS6 is probably $1,000 console. We already knew Project Helix was going to be $1,000+, right? Because they're doing something different, more boutique and premium. We're pricing people out of the hobby, man. That's the bottom line on this. People can fuss and just say whatever, but the truth of the matter is the average person can't afford this stuff. Not with gas, it's freaking $6. Like, everything that's going on right now, the average person cannot afford to upgrade from their current hardware. So what's going to happen is you're going to see people hold on. Look, like, I'm holding on to this for dear life. People are going to be holding on to their console for dear life.
Yep.
And the result of that's going to be cross-gen. Cross-gen will go into the 2030s. Buckle up. The games that are coming out will be playable on the Series X and the PS5 well into the 2030s, because people aren't going to be able to afford the new hardware. They're not going to be able to afford to build a PC. So you're going to stick with what you got. And that's it. Look, it is what it is. you know, obviously not everything is in the control of these companies, but even when things stabilize and normalize, they're not lowering the price, because once they get you used to paying that price, it's going to stay there. And that's what sucks mostly about all this stuff. You know what I mean? I get this is, you know, this is not a you don't have to play games, but it was a hobby that was for everyone. And now it's becoming a luxury hobby. And that sucks. It just sucks. Because mm-hmm. to your point, back in the day, I remember the NES was, I think that was, it was $199. The Deluxe with Rob the Robot, I think it was $199. Back in the day. And that was, oh my God, you're spending that much. But even, what was it? I'm trying to remember now. Wasn't the 360 arcade? Was it $299? It wasn't even $299, was it? Wasn't it less than that?
I remember when the 360 came out, and it was like a very small hard drive on that one. That was very cheap compared to like the regular version.
Was it $199? Am I tripping?
I'm trying to remember.
The point is, it was not that expensive, because remember, people lost their minds over the PlayStation 3.
He confirmed me. Said, yeah.
December 17, 2008, officially $199 Xbox 360 Arcade.
Yes. And we've had already been talking about how, you know, people get mad when I say it, but it's true. It's the worst console generation in history, because prices are going up. We've never, ever in the history of video game hardware have prices go up. You were better off buying at launch than you are in year 5 or year 6. Yep. It's insanity. Mm-hmm. It's insane where we are, and we're seeing no signs of this slowing down. So I don't know, man. I just, like I said, I like the PS5 Pro. Like I said, plays games great on it. You know, PSSR 2.0 has made vast improvements. But at $900, if you don't already have one, really, how many people are really going to realistically run out and go buy that thing? And I'm not talking the hardcore. I'm talking the casual. Talking, mm-hmm. yeah, walking into a Best Buy or something during the holidays, and you see that thing at $900. Parents aren't spending that amount of money. They're not.
No, I just don't see it. And also people like Pete that plays a lot of PC games. I definitely don't see Pete buying a PlayStation 5. He might as well just invest on something for your computer to upgrade it or something, you know, instead of buying a console, right?
Like, let's take a look. So I'm looking at my local electronics dealership, right? We don't have Best Buys. We have Media Marts and Galaxis here. So I'm looking
Switzerland,
at it.
For those who don't know, Switzerland.
Yes, in Switzerland. Sony PlayStation 5 Pro 2 TB, 689 Swiss francs. Now, if we take that, convert it to the U.S. dollar, that's $866. So right now, it's a little bit cheaper than the U.S. version, not including the stand or not including any of the other accessories and stuff, right? You get a single controller. But with the impending PS6 coming around the corner, does it make sense to drop the $850, $900, whatever it would be right now to get the PS5, or do I wait, right? Do I miss out on GTA 6?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that is mm-hmm. that it. And honestly, if I'm looking at it in my eyes, I'm missing out on GTA 6 and Wolverine. Right. Because Wolverine is going to be a day one, not going to be an exclusive on PC. So, or not available on PC. So, like, I have to make a really honest decision. And I may have to go back to the wife, be like, babe, pull out the PowerPoint deck, be like,
yeah, she probably gonna look at you like, no.
But I will say, and this goes back to the conversation we had a few weeks ago when I posted that clip. You know, people went crazy over that, but I wasn't wrong. I still don't think I'm wrong. If anything, this reinforces what I was saying. This is why PlayStation should reconsider removing games off PC. Because if... And here's the argument, because again, this is Twitter. People don't understand the nuance of this. Mm-hmm. If I can only afford to buy one thing, a PC does more than play games. It is a productivity tool as well as a gaming machine. So sure, mm-hmm. I might spend a little more than $1,000 on a PC that is perfectly capable of playing all the latest games at high fidelity and all that. But it's a better investment than me spending $1,000 on this. And I don't have to, if I can't play to everything Pete's talking about, if I miss out on Wolverine, if I miss out on Soros, and I have to wait a year to play Grand Theft Auto 6, so be it. There's so many other games on PC that I could be playing that mm-hmm. I'm not going to invest in this just to for I shouldn't even say a handful, but for obviously the PlayStation exclusive single player games when the 90 percentile or of the other games are on PC. And sure, I might spend a few hundred more on that PC, but it's a better investment because I can do more with that hardware than I can with this. Not to mention, Pete was already kind of alluding to this, I can upgrade my PC over time. PlayStation is what it is. You know, the Xbox is what it is. You can't upgrade those things. So I'm just saying, if these prices are going to the point where it's now about an affordability thing, and you got to start making choices. Put your games, bring the games to where the people are, man, because people can't necessarily afford to go to you anymore. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, man. Like, I think, look, for those that already have the consoles, I think they're good, you know, with GTA.
Right. And that's the point.
Everybody's
yeah.
good, right? But look, and I know there hasn't been like an official confirmation from PlayStation yet about stopping making single player games on PC. That is not official, but I think that was part of the conversation. But I think this probably behind the scenes changed the conversation.
Like, I agree.
This is not good. Like us not releasing Soros, Wolverine, and future games on PC, that's a huge mistake. I think that's a huge mistake. Because honestly, at the beginning, the reason why these games was coming out on PC is to maybe convince some of the PC gamers to buy a PlayStation 5. But now with these prices, that's not going to happen. They're not going to go out there and buy a new console. They're going to stay with their PC and still continue playing games on PC. And look at an example, Marathon. The most copies it sold was PC. More than consoles. Yeah, more than consoles.
Combined from Xbox and PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a huge mistake. Huge mistake if Sony decides to do that, you know? But again, who knows? Maybe this was a different conversation before they announced about the prices and so on. You know what I'm saying?
But to your point, go ahead, Pete, sorry.
No, sorry. But when you think about it, there's mm-hmm. reasons why people would prefer to go to PC for a game like Marathon. And I'm using Marathon in particular, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no paywall to play online, I can just jump on and play, and I don't have to worry about it, right? I don't have to worry about that when I'm on cons. That is a major component. So remember, it's not just the $900 to get that PlayStation 5. I now have to shell out for an online subscription. So that $900 investment just increases exponentially every single month, or if I'm doing the yearly subscription, whatever. But you know,
I'm sorry, I can't take Paris series. I can't.
I keep looking, and it's hilarious. I keep looking at my monitor, and it kills me. But if I want to, I can take maybe a quarter of that alleged $900 investment and yeah. upgrade my CPU and make my system that much better, right? I can't mm-hmm. max out I could max out the RAM, but at RAM prices, that's like three of those PS5s. If I want to try to upgrade my RAM, I'm at 64 gigs now. I can't get any. I don't know if I'd be able to. I wouldn't see any tangible difference in video games on my computer mm-hmm. if I increase my RAM. So all I can do is increase my chip, right?
And
I have enough money to go out buy a bottle of Brugal and get a lobster and steak dinner and go to town.
Oh, he said Brugal, Dominican rum. But here's the thing I have to ask you, man. Like for you guys. Like, okay, so these consoles are expensive. So what about the next consoles? Like, how expensive is going to be that now compared to the current ones? And also, is it even worth it now that all this is happening? Because like you said, Paris, companies, studios like, you know, from Xbox and also from PlayStation, they're probably going to still continue, like you said, making games of these current consoles, even though the new ones are already out. And it's going to be like that for a long time. So when is the right time to buy the next gen consoles? Because
They started $1,000. They have to, bro. I'm at the point now. I'm thinking the freaking Steam machine is probably about $899.
Yo, they haven't said a word about the price yet.
More realistic, probably like $799. It's probably like $800. Seriously, I legitimately think that. And that's crazy because that's as much as I want a Steam machine, it's at best base PS5 performance. And that's fine for what it is. No one's expecting it to all the bells and whistles, but Valve doesn't have the supply chain cachet that a Sony or a Microsoft does. They're at GDC jokingly talking about, hey, help us find some RAM. We need it. So if they're having supply issues, what the hell are they charging for the Steam machine? You got to start thinking of it that way. I can't assume the best anymore. I'm just assuming the worst. And look, I personally think, and this has been my theory for a while, I don't think the Steam machine comes out this year. I really don't. And if it does, it'll be a freaking unicorn. It is going to be so hard to get one. Very limited supply. That's just me.
But even with the price expensive, you still think it's going to be hard to find?
Because I don't think Valve wants to overcharge people for it. I guess I'm going off the fact that I don't think Valve wants this thing to, they want it to be, there be some affordability for it. And again, I'm assuming a lot here, obviously, right? But I don't think they're just going to throw it out at some high price and go, yep, here you go. I think they're going to try and make this thing as reasonable as they possibly can. And if that's the case, maybe they can't mass produce it. I don't know. I'm spitballing, obviously. We have no idea how that's going to go, but I'm just assuming the worst because I just saw this thing jump $150. So I'm assuming the worst with all of this stuff.
I have a couple comments here. This is pretty funny. From Jax. Paris, come on. You hugging that PlayStation 5 Pro too close.
I hug it even closer.
All right. Hold your PS5 tight tonight. Everybody.
Hey. Someone tweeted out and I was dying. I don't know if you ever watched Undisputed with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, but when Shannon Sharp left his last day, he was talking to Skip. He was like, tell Skip, when you lay your head down tonight, just know I gave you everything I got. And it was like, this dude said, this is me with my PS5 into the 2030s. Like, he holding on, bro. Oh my God. But it goes back to what I was saying though.
Yeah.
People are going to hold on to what they got.
Just like that.
Again, if the Witcher 4 is available on PlayStation 5, they already got a PlayStation 5, they're gonna be like, I ain't trying to spend $1,200 for a PS6 or a Helix.
One. Here's another one. This is Steam machine is going to get canceled. I don't think so.
I don't think canceled, but like I said, I think it could get delayed.
The thing is, and I understand the purpose for having a Steam machine or getting a Steam machine is because it kind of bridges the console and PC, you know, sphere together because it's essentially a console PC at that point. But if you've got anything, what is it, like a 3070 or 3080 and above, you're already ahead of the curve on a Steam machine. Couple that with a half decent AMD processor. Now, the RAM is likely going to be expensive. And again, it's the headache of having to put it together, cobbling it together, making sure you got the right cables, you put it in the right slot, et cetera, and you're able to install Bazite. But after that, you're good as gold. You know what I mean?
Danny, can you put up the chat from RayJ5059?
Oh, yeah, from YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Phil said no one's going to buy a $1,000 console display game, but now we're already reaching that price range.
So the reason I want to bring this up is I'm calling this up. Phil Spencer has been right the entire time. He's been telling us this for years. He was right the entire time. He had been warning us for a very long time about this hardware stuff is not sustainable. And obviously the AI stuff and all that has just accelerated it. But he was right. And I think Phil sort of read the tea leaves and he was like, yeah, this is a good time to retire. I don't need to deal with this anymore. I'm rich. What am I doing? Let me get out. Let Asha deal with this because, bro, it's crazy. No, I was just saying that Phil was right the entire time. He had been warning us for years about this and people dismissed what he was saying because it was like, oh, it's an Xbox problem. This is not an industry problem. He was right. And the other point I was just making on that is it's crazy that we're now at a place where we have to debate, is it worth buying $1,000+ console? That's crazy talk. It just is. And yeah. Look, Phil just saw the tea leaf. He was like, you know what? Now's a good time to retire. Let Asha deal with this. I'm out. I'm rich. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, I think. Yeah.
There's another one here. This is another comment here on YouTube. Steam Machine should just wait when next gen is ready. PlayStation 6 and also Project Helix. Is that a mistake, Paris or Pete?
Well, here's another part of this conversation we haven't mentioned yet. Mm-hmm. You also have to remember, both from Microsoft, Sony, and honestly even Valve, even though Valve's is a little different, there's contracts in place. There's already things in motion for these hardware things. So they can't necessarily, like, I think the stuff is all dropping next year. So I think, ready or not, prices or not, this stuff has to come out. I think Valve's is a little different because if you look under the hood of what the Steam Machine is, it's more off the shelf parts. So maybe I think Valve has more flexibility than I think a PlayStation or an Xbox does when it comes to releasing this hardware. Like I said, again, I just think there's a real possibility the Steam Machine is delayed into 2027, and it's hoping that the market settles down so they can get realistic pricing on this stuff versus what it would be right now in 2026.
My question to you guys, where is Nintendo all this? Nintendo, chilling. I know they're chilling.
About to put out Ocarina of Time remake. That's what they're about to do. They don't care.
Yeah, movies coming out. There's rumors of new games coming out this year, too. I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil it. But even though the Switch 2 is more expensive than the Series S, because right now Series S is the cheapest console now because of all these price hikes. Which is surprising to me. How much is it now, Paris? A Series S? Do you know the official price on that? Is that
in $400? I thought it was $399.
Still $399?
I thought it was. Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, it launched $399, didn't it?
Bro, the prices are going up. I don't know.
Look, you're holding the PlayStation 5 tight. I don't know. I'm asking you,
sir. You're the this Xbox is a PlayStation, guy. Not an Xbox.
You're an Xbox guy. Hold on. He's going to hold. Oh, no. What he's going to do?
He's going to go pick up a second one. He's going to go pick up a second one.
Hey, I don't know. Okay.
He's going to hold it tight.
Stop putting pressure on me. I don't know. Leave me alone.
That's funny. I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is, you know what sucks? Because look, I remember when I was a kid in the 80s seeing a Nintendo for the first time. And I went to my mom and I'm like, mom, dad, look, this is the new Nintendo. Can we buy one for me for Christmas? They looked at me. They looked at the price. They looked at me again and said, no. And kept on walking. That was like in the mid 80s for that price. Can you imagine kids now in 2026 to look at the parents like, hey, mom, dad, a teenager. Let's go with a teenager. Hey, mom, dad, can we buy a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox? GTA is coming out. I would love to, you know, whatever. And the parents look at the price. Close to $1,000, knowing the economy is like downhill right now.
It's $399.
It's $399. Okay, you're right.
And the 1 terabyte, that's the 512 gigabyte one is $399, and Xbox Series X 1 terabyte is $650. So that and the base PS5 are the same price.
Yeah. So I bring that up, right? So. And I know we have these conversations several times here on the show where Pete and Paris mentioned this multiple times. Because they have older kids, right? Yo, they don't care about consoles. They play wherever their friends are at. They play on mobile. They play on tablet. They play on consoles. Mm-hmm. Now more than ever, you're going to see these kids playing mobile because they already have it. Everybody has that. Or PC because the majority of people have PC more than consoles, man. You know, so it's like, I don't know, man. These consoles are in trouble, bro. I think it's not looking good. Look, I'm not saying that people are not going to buy it. Of course, there's going to be people that are going to use their credit cards and buy these consoles in the future. But I don't know, bro. This is like, it's too
much. But see, that's the thing, Danny. People are literally going to put themselves in freaking debt trying to buy these damn consoles. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Because, and the reason I'm saying that, because we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. It is not responsible. It ain't. As a parent, my kid's doing that, I'd be like, you lost your mind. Mm-hmm. But people are going to do it because people enjoy this hobby. They love the hobby. It went from a state of being very affordable to everyone to now it's becoming more luxury. And in that middle transition period, you're going to see people say, oh, screw it. I got to play GTA 6. Mm-hmm. I got to play Wolverine. I got to play freaking Fable or Gears E-Day. Screw it. I'm buying it anyways, even though it costs too much. It's going to happen.
Look, I'm not going to post it here. But somebody on Twitter went to the store. I think it looked like he went to Walmart and bought a PlayStation 5 and a PlayStation 5 Pro. And he showed the receipt. You know what I noticed in that receipt? The first transaction says declined. And then it didn't kick. I don't know why he posted it. That was, you can see the receipt. It says decline. And then he.
Because social media has rotted people's brains. That's why.
Yeah. So then he, I think they did it again. And he actually bought both of those consoles before the price increase. There's going to be a lot of that, man, of credit card decline. It's a lot, bro. That's a lot of money, man. I don't know. I feel bad for this generation, like, trying to get into gaming. Because back then, it was expensive for us as kids. But, like, I remember my friend had a Sega Genesis, had a Super Nintendo. And we would trade consoles. Like, you know, I mean, we were living next to each other. I will lend him my games, my console. He would lend me his console and games. You know, because we couldn't afford it back in those days. But now, fast forward now, imagine kids, teenager, that like, same thing. Like, they're not going to even afford it, man. They're just going to keep their old consoles and just keep playing with those. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah. When we were kids, I mean, it's like one of us would have an NES. The other one would have a Genesis. Someone might have the TurboGrafx. Like you said, we would all be going to each other's houses to go play games. Or if, like, say we both had an NES, we couldn't own all the same games. So we would swap games, you know, to be able to play and stuff. So And that was, again, that was way more affordable than it is now. So imagine, bro, this is too much.
That's also taking into consideration a change in the cost of living over the last 20, 30, 40 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on that.
I said that because I did see that post yesterday. I did see the response from people yesterday.
Yeah, no, but it's the thing of, you know, and we've talked about this before, but like you even just kind of mentioned a second ago, Danny, like I apologize to my kids all the time. I go, it was not like this when I was your age. Back when I was their age, you could literally just go get a minimum wage job, go get an apartment, have a car, do all these things, and you were fine. Mm. You can't do none of that stuff anymore because everything just costs way too freaking much to be able for a kid coming out of high school, going in, getting out of college or whatever, to just afford the bare minimum stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. Again, you're seeing it more and more. Kids are continually just having to live with their parents because they can't afford to go live on their own. Like I think about it, like I live in San Diego, right? I did that in the late 90s. I think of that now. My kids can't do what we did at all. Not even close. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, bro.
Bro,
it's just rough.
I posted this a couple days ago. Bro, I'm driving, and I'm getting to see, like, the gas stations around the area. Yo, over $6 a gallon.
Nuts.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
There's more important things to worry about than actually getting console. Like, it's going to be harder and harder because now – We gotta make some really hard decisions. Like, yo, I gotta pay these bills or buy these consoles. Like, which I look. Don't get me wrong. The reason why I play these games is it's fun. sometimes I have like a lot of stuff going on, you know, with work and life. And this is like a, it helps me with stress, right? It helps me, right? But now I'm going retro, bro. Like if I can't afford these new consoles or the current consoles, I'm going even older. Like I'm going way back and just play that, whatever I could afford. Because yo, I just can't see myself buying a $1,000 plus console. Maybe I could do that with a PC because I could do way more stuff with a PC, right? But just a console that could just play games and stream movies? No, that's no. I'm not gonna do that, bro. I'm not doing that. And I know there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna feel that way too, man. Like I feel bad for, like you said, Paris, those that have a job, they get paid minimum wage. They're not gonna have enough to buy these consoles, man. You know, like this. I think this is more for the middle class and up now, man. Because back then, growing up, I didn't have the money like that, you know. And I'm always thankful that my mom got me these consoles back in the days, you know. But it was hard for her back then, in the 90s, you know, or in the 80s, you know.
I'm not even sure it's for the middle class anymore.
Yeah, you know what?
There's way and that's sad. That sucks. And then let's couple in on the back end, on the business side of it. I mean, because you know, Trier had just put out that post about game development costs, which again is something we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Costs way too much to make these games these days. The ROI is getting harder and harder to do. And this is why you're seeing all these layoffs and these studios closing, because they can't afford to take these risks anymore. Investors are very risk averse. So there's no money for these games anymore either. So when something does get greenlit, it better be a freaking hit. Like, look, I don't care what you think about Marathon. I like it. I know you like it. It is a high quality, high production game. But the reality of it is we see the numbers and they are not good. And I hope Bungie figures it out. I hope, you know, it obviously gets a long tail, but that game not succeeding puts Bungie at risk. Bungie. That's crazy to think. And look, I have no idea what PlayStation is ultimately going to do, but the fact that Bungie could have a miss with Marathon, one miss, gone. And it wouldn't shock anyone.
That's crazy.
You can think I'm being hyperbolic or whatever, but that's a reality we're in right now. We just saw what happened with Battlefield 6. Then that game did well, and they still laying people off, right? So it's just like we're in a bad place, man. The industry's in a bad place. Whether you want to believe it or not, it is. Because if you talk to people that actually make the decisions in this industry, they will tell you this all the time. I'll say it again, Phil warned everybody. He did. Whether you like him, believe him, or whatever, he had been saying this stuff for years. And we're starting to see the end result of it, and it is not good.
And one more thing I will say. A lot of these people on social media are complaining about the most stupidest things.
Yes.
Stupidest things. So-and-so is not tweeting about, you know, the shutdown of a studio of PlayStation or whatever. Let me tell you something, a bunch of morons. There's way more important stuff to think about than that, you know. Way more important stuff. There's people that can't even afford consoles. There's people that are getting laid off from studios, from jobs, because of a lot of different reasons, whatever. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about solutions. Not, hey, why you don't tweet about this? Like, it's just, there's so many stupid things not to worry about, yo. Let's think about this, like these type of issues. Like, how can we fix that, man? You know, it's gonna be hard, man. The next couple of years are gonna be really, really effing hard, yo. For the industry overall. If you think it's bad with layoffs, whew. And look, I'm sorry to say, it's gonna be worse because people are not gonna can't afford to buy these consoles, man. You know,
I mean, think about it. We're probably 18 months away from a new hardware cycle. Who's going to be excited about spending $1,000+ on this hardware? This will probably be the first hardware cycle in the history of video games where the enthusiasm is going to be lukewarm at best. And I get it. You're going to have the super hardcore people that will literally take out a fifth mortgage to get this stuff. I ain't talking about them because you are a tiny percentage. You're a tiny percentage of the overall gaming audience, right? The vast majority of these people, again, parents are not going to look at this shit and be excited about it. I got to spend what? You better hold on to that damn PlayStation 4. That's what they're going to say.
Or three. Or PlayStation 3.
I know, what my mom, God rest her soul, if she was around right now and I was still a kid talking about this stuff, she would look at me like, boy, you done lost your damn mind. You ain't getting, you got it. Dad play games on it. You better keep playing what you got. That's what she would say.
Or say to you or P, like, you know what? Get your own job, pay your own bills, and buy on your own. Right, Pete.
My kids are out of the house, so I got to worry about it.
No problem. No. But here's the other part of that, though. Even just, go get a job and go get your own. My mom still would be like, you're not wasting your money. If you staying in my house, you ain't wasting your money on that. That's what she would say. She was like, all these bills I got around here to pay, and you buying a $1,200 toy? Boy, you better put some of that on the light bill. That's what she would say.
That might have been much easier because, 20 years ago, but now with every price going up, and look, I'm somewhat oblivious to this because I don't live in the States, but I do see and I do hear the ramifications of the impact of AI and the data centers being built up and all the subsidies that they get from the electrical companies and the government, causing homeowners to have a much more expensive light bill because that bill's got to get paid by somebody, right? So right now, we've been doing this 20-something years. Little Johnny's a father, right? So now little Johnny Jr. is trying to buy a $1,200 PlayStation 6 Pro, right? Hey, we've been talking about little Johnny for 20-something years now, you know what I mean? He's done seen it. He's gone through it. He's trying to look for the cheap and quick, right? So look,
I just can't see it, bro.
It's not just that. And I'm glad that you guys alluded to this before, right? It's, developers and publishers are now risk averse because we're not going to see the dearth of games. We're not going to see games getting published because somebody took a risk, because they thought, oh, wow, this game Hades looks really cool. Ooh, this game Slay the Spire, this is a really cool concept. I'm going to fund that. Those smaller games, right? The Vampire Hunters and all these games that we've fallen in love with over the last 5 or 6 years, because we've had the luxury of having publishers give the benefit of the doubt to these smaller developers. That noose is tightening. You know, that pocketbook is getting much, much smaller. Well, the pocketbook for development is getting smaller, right? The pocketbook for the execs up top is getting much, much larger. And they've got to come up with some way to keep making these games. And it's crazy because like we see a juggernaut like Sony, who's had so much success over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, the last 8-10 months has been a bloodbath. They're closing studios. They've not put out an amazing exclusive title that's been worth dropping $900 for a PlayStation Pro. We've had Ghosts of Yote and whatnot, but that's it. That's all we're going to get.
Here's the advice I would give anyone watching or listening to this right now. Don't listen to us. Definitely don't listen to the anime avatar on social media that thinks he's a financial expert. Talk to people in real life and ask them, do they want to spend $1,200 on a PlayStation 6 or another Xbox, and see what they say? Talk to people in reality. Don't talk to people in this fantasy land of online. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. And that's my point. Don't listen to us. Literally do not listen to us. And like, bro, you already know.
Yeah. You know what I'm laughing? Dudes on, it's the anime avatars that you're talking about. I mean, you're
right.
True.
It's true. Don't listen to the dude that pretends to be a financial expert or a tech expert online, but works at the Geek Squad in real life.
Oh, damn.
That's real talk.
Good Lord.
That's real talk.
Wow.
And I'm not, and that is nothing against someone that works at Best Buy at the Geek Squad, because hey, an honest living is an honest living. I'm not hating on that, but that dude is not making any real decisions in the real world. That dude is not some highly technical person that understands how hardware works or software works, right? Mm-hmm. So again, don't listen to people online. I'm just telling you, go talk to people in real life and see what they say. And I guarantee you the sentiment is the exact opposite of these extreme hardcore people that, like I said before, will literally take out a seventh mortgage to just post a picture online that they got a goddamn PlayStation, right? And then play the game for 5 minutes and never touch it again. That's online. Talk to people that really play games, that really want to enjoy this hobby in real life, and see if they want to spend that amount of money on that stuff. I guarantee the answer is going to be no. And I guarantee you, they're like, well, I already got a PlayStation. I'm just going to hold on to it. And what's going to happen with that is they're going to keep making games for PlayStation 5 and for Xbox Series X for a very, very long time, because you have to have the games available to the people. And if they're not buying your hardware, then you better make sure it's available in the hardware that they got. That's all I'm saying. And that's just real talk. Y'all can be mad at me if you want to, but that's just the reality of the real world.
My question for you both, does it even make sense to have a PlayStation Plus now that this the console the next console, is it going to be?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Mine just expired this month. And it was so funny because Trey was like, hey, why can't I da 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 da? And I looked at him. I was like, well, if you want to pay for it, because it's not worth it enough for me on PlayStation to essentially pay for online. I'm not doing it, you know. So I was like, I just let it lapse. And they're already talking about PlayStation Plus increasing in price for that. Not when I can just play the games online on my PC. I'd rather do that. So like Marathon, as an example, I don't play it on PS5 because I can't. I play it on PC because I'd have to have PlayStation Plus just to play Marathon right now. Same. And I don't think it's worth the price of admission.
Same. I think, you know, with Project Helix, yeah, you can subscribe to like Game Pass and play all these games or whatever, but I think it's not mandatory to play online games in the future. It's going to be similar to like the PC. It's just going to be free. But my thing is like Nintendo. What? What do you mean?
I don't think that they're not going to bypass that monthly subscription to force people to play online. They're not going to give that away for free. Not for Helix. If Helix is supposed to be the next iteration.
Helix is a PC. Helix is a PC. I know
what Pete's saying. And I actually, that's the thing they got to figure out, Danny, to the point of what he's saying.
Yeah.
If Helix will truly let me play games from Steam or Epic or whatever, right? They can't gate it behind an online paywall.
Yep.
But would they take the risk to still gate their games behind the online paywall if you got it from essentially the Xbox store? How they like Game Pass has to figure this somehow. There's got to be some kind of tier that seems to incentivize it or whatever, because I don't know how to do it. I really don't. I don't know how they're going to figure that one out, that people will just willingly have a Project Helix where I could just buy the game from Steam and not pay to play online, but if I get it from you, I still do. That makes no sense. So they got to figure it out.
Because, yeah, like, think about it. A normal Xbox is a PC. It just has a skin on it that allows the controller to function and act as a mouse. Mm-hmm. That's all it really is. We've known this since the Xbox 360 was a Windows 7 with a skin on it, right? Mm-hmm. It was that's all it was. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. So Project Helix is no different. Now, as Paris said, much better than I did. How do they bridge the gap of first party versus third party games and or store access? If they're allowing the Epic stores, if they're allowing Steam or, you know, GOG or any of these other game stores to be able to connect and provide titles to the Helix owner, how do you let go of all of that hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of Microsoft gains out of an Xbox Live subscription?
I don't know, man. It just doesn't make any sense. I get it when it comes to like consoles, but like for Project Helix, which is technically a PC.
But it's
why are they going to charge? You know,
it's like essentially a Steam Deck. It's essentially a Steam Deck, like, but with a Microsoft skin on it.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying, though, right, Paris? Like, it doesn't make any sense for me to, like, I have these games right now on my PC. Why is it that once I get to Project Helix, I have to pay the same games that I bought on my PC to play online? But that doesn't make any sense.
But that's the point of what both, like, you're literally, I'm Cap and you're Rhodey and you're freaking Falcon and Civil War and the arguments on both sides because both are valid. Both are valid. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Both are valid. And that's what they have to figure out. Cause the simple answer is you don't charge, but then you're giving up that revenue stream. Are they willing to give up that revenue stream? Then if you don't, and you're still charging, now you're pissing people off because here's the prime example. The next Halo comes out, the online, the multiplayer. If I buy it through the Microsoft store on Project Helix, you're telling me I have to have Game Pass, whatever the frick, just to play online. But if I buy it through Steam, I don't. Guess where I'm buying that Halo?
Exactly.
I'm buying it through Steam.
Exactly.
So look, this again, I'm telling you again. This is why Phil was like, yep, this is a good time to run over to the sunset.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to be complicated. Here's the thing, man. Like, why would I buy a console for $1,000 or whatever, Project Helix, right? Let's say I buy it, $1,000+, and I want to play these games. I have to also buy Game Pass, which is also expensive, for me to order to play these games online, but I also could stay with my PC, buy the same exact game cheaper because I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay for Game Pass in order for me to play online. Why the hell am I going to buy the console, like that Project Helix? That doesn't make any sense. So I think they have to remove that in order to get more people to buy. Because look, things are expensive. Don't make it even more expensive for me just to play online games. I don't know. It made sense back in the days when it comes to consoles. But it's like, for example, I have the Li X, right? The Xbox Li X. I play the same games that I have on my PC and also the Xbox PC. I don't pay online at all. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what's going to happen with Project Helix.
I think the only way Microsoft allows this is if they force these storefronts, the Ubisoft store, the Ubisoft Connect, and all these others, to give up a small percentage.
Percentage of what?
So, hear me out. What?
No. That's not going to happen, bro.
Hold on. No. I'm not trying to go first here. I'm just trying to put this in a logical concept. The only way Microsoft Helix, right, or Xbox Helix, whatever the hell they're going to call it, the only way that you can have games in Danny's, I'm trying to take Danny's Fantasyland here experience.
Whoa. What do you mean Fantasyland? It's a reality, bro. What are you talking about? This is not no for skew. This is the real deal.
I'm trying to put some kind of mental balance there, right? So you've got Project Helix.
Wait.
Fantasyland.
Oh no.
Wrong one.
You should show the Series X. Why are you showing that?
You got Project Helix connecting to the Microsoft Store.
My Series X is on an assignment right now. I can't show it.
You got Project Helix connecting to the Microsoft Store for its first party games. In order for it to connect with third party games to allow multiplayer games, right? Without having them go through the Microsoft Xbox Live experience subscription, whether it's Steam or anybody else, I don't know. Maybe they come up with a 2-3% off, you know, whatever point agreement from, you know, to go to Microsoft to bypass that. So that way they're making the money. Because there's no way Microsoft is going to give up a $9.99 a month subscription for 100,000 people to play online with Microsoft, for them to play, whether it's Rainbow Six Online or Xbox or anything. There's no way a massive organization like these are going to give up a guaranteed revenue stream coming in.
P, this is not a console. This is a PC. It doesn't make any sense. And Paris, why are you holding the Xbox Series S too tight? Let it breathe.
No. I want to respond to that. And I hear everything you're saying, but there is, forget Epic for a second. There is no way in hell
Gabe Newell is not giving up any money.
Ain't giving up not even a half of a percentage point of any of their revenue. That's not happening. Steam is too dominant on the PC side that they need to make a deal with everyone. I can see it now. I should go, Gabe, I want to talk to you about if we could split. Hello? Hang up. It's just gone.
He's like, I can't hear you. I'm in my yacht in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I'm in New Zealand. Bye. Click. But being serious, here's what I think. And we'll obviously see how this plays out. I think the online paywall goes away. I do. For the simple fact, whether you want to call it a console, PC, or whatever, if it's now an open platform, you can't gatekeep that because the PC side just simply doesn't do it. It's Game Pass, dude. It has to be. And we already heard there's rumors, potentially a first party only tier and all that. They've got to have a Game Pass tier that is appealing enough that it gets mass adoption. It's about that subscription, man. I just think that's how they probably lose revenue up front, but I think it's a long-term play, which again, I think this is why Asha Sharma is now the new CEO, because if you look at her resume, it is always about the long play. It is always about building engagement, taking an existing product and building it and getting more user engagement with it. So I think this is a part of the overall plan. If you look at what Microsoft / Xbox has talked about in these past few months, you're seeing a shift from, obviously this is an Xbox and all that. It definitely seems like they realize we can't keep going down the path that we're going with this, or this product is not going to grow. Let's bring in, they're bringing the wolf in. It's the wolf from Pulp Fiction. Asha's the wolf. She's coming in and she's there to solve problems. I'm serious. I'm dead serious when I say that.
He's not wrong about that.
If you look at her resume, this is what she does. Yeah. So I think that's part of it. Solving this problem that we're talking about right now, that it makes sense for them from a revenue standpoint and from a customer standpoint, because they can't afford to piss customers off anymore. And I think they know that. They need to appeal to their core audience and make everything, make them feel valued. If I'm buying Helix or I still got a Series X, make me feel valued. If I'm playing on PC, make me feel valued, right? They have to do that. And literally Helix is combining the two. So I think the online paywall is a sacrifice. It has to be.
They have to. It
doesn't make sense otherwise. Because if you keep it on for part of the people, you're pissing off that your audience, your customer. Yeah. They can't do that anymore.
So let's take that left turn, right? Do you think that the storefronts then will say, okay, well then you're going to require, if you want to play on our third parties, or if you want to utilize our third party stores, you have to have Game Pass Core or whatever
it's going to be on there? You can't. Bring up what you said before, Pete. Mm-hmm. What is the Steam Deck today?
I'm trying to see both sides.
No. I understand that. But what is the Steam Deck today? Right now, today.
It's a Linux box.
Obviously, it is a Steam storefront that boots into big picture mode. But what can you do if you want to?
Install any
operating system. Epic Store. I can install anything I want on it.
And you can just run Windows and just do whatever you want.
Helix on some level has to be the same. For sure. It when you boot it up, it looks like an Xbox console, does all the Xbox console things. But on the back end, I'm able to bring in Steam, Epic, GOG. You can do it on the Rogue Ally X today, right? So they can't all of a sudden force you into, well, you got to subscribe to this to get through. I mean, hell, take Xbox out of it for a second. Mm-hmm. What did you see Pavin and all them talking about last week about Windows 11? We got to be more, we got to strip this thing down and make it way more consumer friendly. We got to take the bloat out. We got to stop making. Microsoft clearly sees what they got to do as far as that goes, because look at what they're doing, not only on the operating system side, but now on the gaming side, that they got to make this more consumer friendly. You got to let people do what they want to do as an open platform. So you can't make this a semi-closed platform. That makes no sense. I'll go to Linux. I'll get a PlayStation. I'll get a Steam machine. I'm not getting your product. I'll just build a PC and do what the frick I want. They can't do that. So Helix can't do that. If it is an open platform, there's no way possible they can gate online multiplayer anymore. They just can't. So in other words, you got to incentivize. And this probably the way I'm saying it, it kind of sounds effed up for us, but it's true. They gotta make the customer believe it's worth it to actually go spend the $9.99 a month.
I mean, yeah, 100% true.
So true.
Bottom line.
Now, one last thing before we wrap it up. Do you think we're now gonna get to see less live services game because of service expensive? It doesn't last. People are always moving on. Like, I'm even seeing Fortnite like going downhill slowly. Like, I'm seeing a lot of other live services game. Apex, people barely talks about it, you know? Like, what's gonna happen with that? I think we're gonna get to see more single player games. Maybe some multiplayer games, but it's gonna be a lot smaller more than ever, man. Because it's too expensive to continue, you know?
It just has to. And not that Marathon is 100% a fair conversation in this, in the sense that it's an extraction shooter, which is more niche. But if Bungie is making essentially a premium AAA experience and we're sitting here questioning if it has long-term success, that's a problem for live service. I just think it's a one percenter type thing. The Fortnites of the world will obviously continue. But you trying to be a brand new IP live service game coming into the space right now, good freaking luck. Not to mention, who the frick is investing in it? Mm-hmm. Who's investing the money in that? Who's thinking in 2026 it's a good idea to start up a live service game? I don't see it. I really don't see it. I think it is a terrible idea because we're seeing more and more these games. I mean, obviously, Highguard, we just saw. Whatever you want to think about that, gone. Because Tencent looked at it and go, yeah, we're not investing in this anymore, and everybody's gone.
Yeah, I can see smaller games. I'm talking about like Fortnite level, Halo level.
That's my point.
I don't see that. I'll probably see like smaller games for sure, but like bigger like that, that's gonna be hard, bro.
unless you're Fortnite, Call of Duty, Warzone.
Yeah.
Who else am I even thinking of? The fact that I got to stop at two, and I'm trying to think beyond that, that are big, like, I guess, that's not
Raiders,
even a live service
PUBG,
game.
PUBG, Counter-Strike, Rainbow Six.
Yeah, yeah, Ark Raider, yeah.
But I mean, look, Ark Raider. I'm looking at Ark Raider, now I'm looking at Steam, because obviously there's no similar comparison model for it, for the consoles. Mm-hmm. But on PC right now, there is double the number of players on Apex than there is on Ark Raiders. That's 100,000 players online right now. PUBG, there's 600,000.
Yeah, but here's a key word you said, PC. I'm talking about more consoles, bro.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There's no window. Helldivers 2.
Helldivers 2. Because you know what it is? It's because look, Marathon Helldivers, you have to pay for that, right? For PC and consoles. But then for consoles, you also have to pay the subscription in order to play these games online. Why is it there's so many people playing it on PC more than the consoles? Because it's cheaper. You buy the game once or you download the game once and you don't have to pay for the service at all. You know, it's free, you know? So that's why I'm bringing it up, because I just can't see a AAA game like Halo, Fortnite, Apex. It's getting harder and harder. There's too much competition, man. Way too much competition now. You know, so I don't know. Everything is getting
like
expensive,
like
man.
Like even think of this, and I feel like I'm picking on Bungie, but I don't mean to be. Would Destiny 3 even work now? If Bungie today announced we're working on Destiny 3, it's out in 2028. Could that have the decade-long tail that the first Destiny had? I don't think so.
I think here's the thing. I know we mentioned about AAA games, online service, and all that stuff. I think there needs to be change. There needs to be some type.
there this needs is to not be change to be successful, because I think using the same traditional way is not going to work long term. So you have to figure something out to make that change in order to be successful in 2026 and beyond. So
here's a question, because we don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see in June if it does. Do you think Gears of War E-Day has multiplayer?
Oh, it has to have.
Does it? Why?
Let me tell you this, Paris. If the Coalition announces Gears of War E-Day without multiplayer, people are not going to be happy, man. They're not going to be happy. They're going to be happy with the story.
Can I tell you why I'm asking that question?
Okay.
How successful has Gears 5 multiplayer been? It's Ghost Town.
No one's playing it. Ghost Town.
It is. Have you tried to go on there lately? No one's on there playing.
Wait, your Gears of War 5 you talking about?
Yeah, Gears 5.
What about the most latest Gears of War, the one that came out for PlayStation?
Even worse. That's my point. This is the point I'm trying to make. Is there, again, sustainability? I get the day it comes out, launch, sure, you're going to have people jumping in playing, but are people playing it 3 years from now? And I'm saying that from a long term. Look, I'm there for the campaign, the story, Dom, you know, all that. I want to see that. Marcus, I'm totally down for that. I will play it, and I know I'm going to love it. Can't wait. One of my most anticipated. But does it really need a multiplayer in 2026? Because I question if Gears multiplayer makes sense anymore. And I'm saying that as an overall thing, that the days of, remember, every game had some kind of multiplayer component to it. Yep. I think we're seeing that less and less. So I don't know if even a Gears can justify having, like, a co-op horde mode. I think you definitely get that. I'm talking the straight up PvP multiplayer stuff, though.
So didn't we have something like this before with either Call of Duty or Battlefield, where they were like, you know, we're not going to do a campaign?
Yeah, it was Call of Duty.
Both. Both of them did that.
It's because, and those two are predominantly known for their multiplayer, right? Everybody was, you know, iffy about whether we actually needed a campaign. So this is essentially the converse to that. Why waste the development resources on building?
And that's my point.
I'm seeing both sides, right? It's like, why spend the extra money to that actually could potentially take away from the development of improving your single player experience or your multiplayer experience, depending on which one you're looking at.
Piece nailing my point. And that's kind of my point. And again, we're just talking. Because this industry is in a state that you got to, I think, at least question these things and ask the questions. Yeah. So let's just say, for pretend, because who knows, Gears of War E-Day has a $300 million development budget, right?
Damn, that's expensive. That's
about the average rate.
Yeah.
Is the Coalition better off taking that time and resources and budget, investing it into making a fully fleshed out campaign / co-op horde mode experience? Or do you invest time and resources into a multiplayer that may be essentially a ghost town 12 months later?
And it's got to be server based, because then you also have to worry about, you know, supporting online. So now you've got to own
and
ramp up servers and internet costs.
Cheating and matchmaking and blah, 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 all that stuff. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Licensing BattleEye or whatever anti-cheat they're going to be putting in. Man, the amount of cash. And look, everybody wants to play co-op. And we all saw the vitriol that Microsoft Microsoft had when it was announced that Halo wasn't going to have a co-op. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've learned their lesson, and they're gonna, okay, we're not gonna offer, again, spitballing right now, we may not offer multiplayer, but we're absolutely gonna ensure that you have the co-op experience that everybody knows and love. Play with Dom and Marcus side by side. Hell, even bring back what's his name, Freight Train. Woo! You know what I mean? That's what people want. People want that experience. I don't know if they want that online.
So I don't know if you can pull this up on the chat, because I'm seeing this on Twitch. But
Twitch, no.
Yeah, so it, I'll leave the name out. I'll just read the comment. But this person is saying, you invest those resources into multiplayer. Think about the content creators that could boost a new Gears multiplayer. How's that working out for Marathon?
Wait, so you're trying to say all the content creators are getting paid?
No, I'm not saying getting paid. I'm saying content creators that are literally playing and streaming Marathon or High Guard. How'd that work out is my point. I think that's irrelevant to the conversation is what I'm saying is I don't think I don't think content creators all of a sudden makes a Gears multiplayer viable in 2026. I think people play what they play. They like what they like. Sure. Mm-hmm. You might see some early engagement with it, streaming, talking about it and all that. But at some point, it's up to the community themselves of are they going to continue to play it? Look at Battlefield 6 multiplayer right now. All the people complaining about Season 2 and just the drop in numbers regarding that. So people stream that. Hell, we were streaming it. We went to the goddamn event, you know, to launch the thing. So I think that's irrelevant is my point.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up?
You know what? I like these kind of conversations.
I like it. I like it. It's not us complaining about someone tweeting, you know?
No, it's just the reality of the industry, and it's us not. I could be completely wrong. I don't freaking know. But it's just like these are things that I think about, and it's like if you love having the conversations and understanding the back and forth, because to the point that Pete brought up about, you know, with the paywall stuff, it's like that is a valid thing that people way smarter and get paid way more than us need to figure out. How is that going to work? How do you balance that out, right? So that everyone's happy in the end. And we'll see. Because I'm telling you, man, this industry is in such a fascinating place right now. And it's unfortunately, it's not in a good place. And they got to figure out how to right the ship.
Yeah, it's not. And the reason why I brought that up is because if I'm going to invest for a console that's over $1,000, they need to make some changes for me to feel good. Like, okay, it was worth for me to buy this beyond just buying games. You know, I'm talking about the services, features, all that. Like, I don't want to feel like, okay, I pay for this, but then I also have to pay this and this and this and that in order to play a game. No, I don't want that anymore. Like, I think that old school mentality, the old school way, it's gone. It has to be because of these changes, you know? So,
we actually forgot a very successful live service game, Forza Horizon.
Good point. There's still people playing that game to this day.
Yeah. There's definitely a big audience for that.
Yeah.
But it's just like I said, we'll see how all this stuff plays out over the next few years leading up to with this new hardware. It's like we need to see what Helix is and how they're going to balance it being a console versus being an open platform PC at the same time. What does UI look like? There's still so many questions about it that I'm fascinated to see. GDC was just the opening kickoff, and it really was more targeted at developers than it was us. So not to keep us on here again forever. Obviously, June will probably be the next opportunity for him to talk about it. And then Danny, they can show it and talk about it more at the 25th anniversary on November 15th.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paris is going to take me, and anybody is welcome. Anybody could go to Ocean Prime, Las Vegas. He said they were not going to talk about it at all. They did at GDC. He was actually there. There's pictures of his bald head right up front with Khalif. He's like, and I know he's like, I know he was thinking like, damn, Ocean Prime, I gotta buy Danny Ocean Prime. And you see Xbox just talking about Project Helix, and Paris like, oh man, Ocean Prime.
Guess how I'm gonna pay for it. Right here. Here's your Ocean Prime right here. Solid investment.
Hey man, WrestleMania is coming up. We could go and we could do a part two.
Oh my god!
No. I can do a part two. We'll walk in with our belts. So they'll be like, "Oh man, it's a wrestler."
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Before we get out of here, I was just telling someone that story. I was just the other day. I was telling that story about You know, it was at WrestleMania last year, and I was like, we were all with my group of friends, and I'm feeling good, and I was like, you know what? Let's go to Ocean Prime, my treat, right? And then I go, we sit down, and they thought we was like WWE wrestlers or something. They gave us a whole VIP thing. And
I was sweating slowly.
And I said, I made the dumbass mistake of there. Order whatever you want. Whatever you want. That's what I said. Hey, most people were being responsible with what they were ordering, but a certain person that don't know how to cook, he was like, give me the lobsters, I want this, and give me the wines, and I'm just like, excuse me. I was like...
Yo, in slow motion, you see Paris sweat just going like this, like... Hey, Paris, like, looking at everybody ordering, he's like, yo, guys, you could stop now. Please stop. Yo, and you see the whole staff happy. Wow, these guys are ordering a lot. Oh, man, they got a lot of money. They're wrestlers. Yo, they even came with a car, gave us business cards. Hey, you guys can come here anytime you want.
Anytime.
I swear to God, we're not joking. That was true story. True story. Get business cards. Like, yo, anytime you want, please. Yo, that was so funny.
But you know, like I said before, man, that was a great night. I loved it. Look, would I do it again? Probably not. But
probably you have to. We made a bet.
You haven't won the bet yet, man.
Wait, I did it with Paris. You said they were not going to talk about it at all until November 2025.
No, you said they were going to show. You said they were going to show it in June. That's what you said.
Yes, but. Technically, they're not. Showed something.
They're not.
They talked.
No, they didn't.
Paris. They talked about it.
So, all right. So what's the name of it? What's the name of it then? What's the name? What's
right
the name
now,
of the next
they
Xbox?
They can't talk about it. It's Project Helix right now.
So, in other words, they haven't talked about it then yet, have
Paris.
They?
Paris. Hmm? So, why you went to the event, right? And sitting at the front, like a little fanboy, just sitting there, man. Huh? Why you were there? If it didn't count, why were you there? You could have just stayed at home and watched the tweets. I bet because. You were first in line. I bet you were first in line. First person to the front. I bet you that. But go ahead.
Actually, Jason Schreier was because he got all bougie and went in before anyone else. But that's another
story. But he's the one present. I mean,
Jason Schreier, not Jason Ronald.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I was there because... It's the Game Developers Conference, and I want to understand more about how the industry works for the developer. That's why I was there.
You're not a developer. Why were you there?
Well, again, if you go by the anime avatars on social media, I had no business being there. I should have never gone there, but I was. Deal with it. I was there. Look, it was me, Khalif, and Cog. We were all right there in the front row, and Hip Hop Gamer was off to the side somewhere. Yo! Just being like, oh, it's coming.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. I'm glad that we got together and recorded this, man. And hopefully Paris will buy us, Pete, the PlayStation 6 and Project Helix, and we're good. We don't have to worry about it. Not only Ocean Prime, but now the consoles. That's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, Pete. Look, Paris left. All right, everyone. Until next time. We're out. Peace.